Good morning and welcome to All Saints. We are concluding our study in the book of Acts, and this morning we are going to focus on the verse that we read, the idea that Paul welcomed all at his own expense as he spent 2 years in house arrest in Rome. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are with us, and we now pray that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and wills to obey, that we might see Jesus, and that we might more fully enter in to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Well, if you had lived in the Middle Ages and you were a traveler, you were journeying from one town to the next, one village to the next, one community to the next, you'd be on the lookout for one thing in particular. You'd be scanning the horizon for one symbol, a symbol that meant rest, that meant welcome, that meant acceptance to you, a symbol that you longed to see at the end of a long day on a hot, dusty road, a symbol that would be a sign of life to you. And that symbol was what we see right behind us, a cross, a Christian cross. You would be looking for a church. You would be seeking rest within the walls of a Christian community because you would know that you could go and knock on that door and they would welcome you in. And they'd have a bed for you. They'd have a meal for you. They would have water to allow you to wash. They would provide rest for you. And the church, for centuries and centuries, was a place of life, of rest, of lodging, of welcome, of shelter. But sadly, in many ways, that is no longer the case. Weary travelers, lonely travelers, lost travelers, do not normally look for crosses and do not normally come knocking on church doors to find shelter, to find rest, to find welcome from the storm. We tend to look for other symbols as we journey: golden arches, green mermaids, red roofs. Why is that? What has happened in our world? Why is the church often a place that we run from rather than run to? And how can it be different? How can a church once again, how can this church once again be known as a place of welcome for weary travelers? There's an old prayer that says this: to all who are spiritually weak and seek rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who struggle and desire victory, to all who sin and need a Savior, to all who are strangers and want fellowship, to all who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to whoever will come, this church opens wide her doors and offers you welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I want that prayer to be more and more true of us, that we would be a community who offers rest, who welcomes all that come to us. And so the question before us today is, are we going to be that type of community? Are we going to be like the Apostle Paul in this text as he welcomed all? Will we be a church? Will we be households? Will we be individuals whose lives are oriented around giving to others welcome and rest in Jesus' name? If not, then why? What keeps us from being people? What keeps us from being a community that offers welcome and rest? So we want to try to answer those two questions this morning. What keeps us, and then how do we become a community that welcomes all? I think there are several factors that keeps us in our day, in our place, in our age, from offering welcome, offering rest to all. One is that we live in a world that's on the move. Individuals move, households move, institutions move. We don't stay put in our society for very long. And it's hard to welcome others into your life when you're constantly on the go. When you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow, when you don't know if the person that you're trying to welcome will be here tomorrow as well. Transience is a barrier to welcome. Transience comes in all sorts of forms: changing jobs, changing churches, changing friends, changing homes, changing hobbies. And transience is an enemy of true welcome, because relationships take time. Relationships are slow. Welcoming others is a long process. And so we won't ever become people who welcome all. We won't be a church who welcomes all if we're constantly on the move. We must stay put. Paul welcomed all who came to him for 2 whole years. Now, that may not seem like a very long time, but remember Paul's context. Remember his situation. He was in house arrest. He was waiting for trial. He wasn't living in Rome. He wasn't saying, this is a place where I'm now a citizen, where I'm going to dwell. He was just waiting to appear before Caesar. But in those 2 years where Paul was under house arrest, God used him in mighty and mysterious ways to welcome many and to build his church through that welcome. Another barrier in our culture is often that we conceive of life as a zero-sum game. In economic terms, this means that if I give you a dollar, that my dollar is gone, and I don't have that dollar, and I can't use that dollar. I've lost something that I will never, ever get back. What this means in relationships is that if I give something to you at my own expense, then I take away from myself. I take away from my family. I take away from others. I've lost something, time, energy, some sort of resource that I'll never, ever give back. And a zero-sum world cannot conceive of life in any other way than black and white, profit-loss, forfeit-gain perspectives. But friends, this isn't the story of Christianity. Christianity beautifully teaches that the more that we give, the more that we seek to bless, the more and more than we participate in the life of our giving God. Because that's who God is. He's the giver. He's the source of all life, of all riches, of all joy, of all wisdom. And so the more that we give ourselves away, the more that we participate in his life. And so Christianity says all over the pages of Scripture this strange, paradoxical truth that it's better to give than to receive, that we're more blessed when we give than when we receive, because Christianity understands that God is the gift giver and that God has given us so many things: the gift of creation, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Son, the gift of the Spirit, gifts and graces to each and every one of us. And so our duty, our job as the people of God is to learn how to receive the gifts and graces of God in order that we might turn around and give and share those with others. And that's what we see Paul doing in our text. He gave away at his own expense. He knew that God had given to him and he could turn around and give to others even when his circumstances were horrible. You don't normally think about people being generous at the worst times in life. But that's exactly what begins to happen when you really understand what it means to be in relationship with God, the gift giver. When you really begin to understand the beauty of the gospel. Welcome, generosity, self-sacrifice become less and less dependent upon your circumstances and become more and more oriented by who you understand God to be. Another factor that keeps us welcoming like Paul did is that we too often, especially here in this place, in this day, in this age, see life from a purely individual perspective. That is that our culture is inherently individualistic. David Brooks has termed our culture as the big me culture, as a society that cares fundamentally and primarily about what happens to us as individuals. Individual dreams, individual hopes, individual aspirations, and individual achievements, and that we don't look out and beyond our own selves. That we're constantly just oriented and shaped by what we want as an individual. And friends, that is not the story of Christianity. Christianity is inherently communal. Christianity is about becoming a family, a body. The metaphors in scriptures over and over again to describe the people of God are inherently communal. And so we must be shaped by Scripture and by Scripture's call to us to be a family, to be a body, to be a community, to be the new humanity, more than we're shaped by our cultural dreams to say life is all about you. Last barrier that I'll mention that keeps us from welcoming all is reducing Christianity to a message, to an idea, to a proposition, to a dogma. You see, if we think that that's the heart of the Christian story, just to get truth out there, just to disseminate truth, just to form a proposition, just to make sure that people understand certain things, assent to certain things, then we'll never welcome all, especially in our day and age. Because if we think that Christianity is primarily a proposition, we can disseminate that proposition almost anywhere, at any time, in any place, through books, through articles, through lectures, through podcasts, through sermons. We can say, this is what it means to participate in the life of God. And if that's our understanding of Christianity, then we have significantly truncated the story of Jesus and the gospel. Leslie Newbegin once said, Jesus didn't write a book. He formed a community. Jesus didn't write a book. He formed a community. And Christianity is essentially being shaped by Jesus, the Lord, the head, the risen and reigning King, the one who is over his church, being formed and shaped by him as his body. It's about participating in his death, embodying his resurrection, living in light of his coming again. It's about receiving his new creation, being part of this new community, receiving his Holy Spirit so that we might be shaped and formed as his people in the world. Christianity includes a message, the most wonderful message ever told. But Christianity is so much more than just a mere message. It's about participating in a whole new way of life. It's about celebrating a meal. It's about becoming a family. It's about becoming the new humanity. And so these are some of the stories that shape us, that keep us from truly welcoming others, from truly being hospitable. And these stories must be dismantled, and they must be replaced by a far more beautiful, more mysterious story. And so what are some components of that more beautiful story that will make us people who, like Paul, welcome all? Well, I think first and foremost and foundational to becoming people who welcome all is that we must understand the welcome of God. Friends, a biblical drama is that God welcomes us. God desires us. God is this yearning, longing, welcoming host. His kingdom is a party. His kingdom is a feast. His kingdom is a celebration. And he loves to receive all who come to him. Think of the gospel passage that we read. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our God is a yearning, longing host. He is willing, able, and delights and rejoices to receive all who come to him. Our God who, he receives everyone who comes to him through the Son. So it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your past. Our God is a welcoming God. He's a lavish, rich, generous host. Do you think of God in these terms? Do you think of God as a yearning, longing host? And I think more and more, this is how we have to conceive of the character of God. That our God loves to welcome his children. That our God prepares feasts and parties and celebrations and tables for his children. And that's one of the reasons why we at this church celebrate communion each and every week, is to remind us that our God is a God who loves to gather his children around his table and give them good gifts. As you read the Bible, one of the things you'll discover is that every time God meets with his people, he prepares meals for them. He prepares banquets and tables for them. He throws parties for them. He is this loving, lavish host who constantly and continually welcomes his children back to him over and over and over again and says, find your life in me. And this is what Paul learned. This is what Paul discovered, that God's deep, lavish love could come to him. He could be welcomed by this God. He could receive the life of this God, even when his circumstances were awful. even when he was facing suffering and persecution. He knew that God was at work even in the midst of his chains. He knew that God was throwing a party for him and for others, even while he was in prison. And as you read Paul's letters, you come to understand that this prison was far more like a party house. This prison was a place where Paul welcomed many, many to him and told many about the kingdom of God, about life in the sun. And they went from this party house to go and to disseminate that good news, to go embody that good news, to go be formed and shaped as this new community. And it changed the world around them. Because Paul understood that the kingdom of God is not bound by time, by space, by cultural, by economic, by even geographic barriers, that the kingdom of God is far greater, far more mysterious than all these. And so Paul welcomed all to him and told them about this party, about life in the sun. And then they went out and they embodied that in their own lives. Paul's prison was a place of great celebration, a place of great feasting, a place of great partying. And when we come to understand that God welcomes us, that feasting upon God, celebrating with God, enjoying the life of God is not bound by our circumstances, but actually begins to transform and transcends our circumstances, then we'll be able to be joyful, to feast, to celebrate, even when life doesn't go our way. When we really begin to understand that in Christ we're accepted, in Christ we're loved, in Christ we're welcomed, and it's going to change us. And we're going to be people who turn around and welcome others in Jesus' name. When we really get this, we'll begin as a church, as we're seeking to do, to build structures, to build systems, to build bridges and avenues to welcome all to this place in Jesus' name. And we'll commit to welcoming people over the long haul. We'll commit to welcoming people even at our own expense. We'll be sacrificial in our welcome. And so as a church, are we seeking to be this type of people? Are we seeking to be this type of new community that welcomes all in the name of Jesus? As a household, are you seeking to embody the welcome of God in your house? As an individual, are you seeking to embody the welcome of God in your own individual life? Friends, I'm convinced that the church, and our church in particular, must learn how to welcome all, not only for today. Okay, we've got tons and tons of people that we need to learn how to welcome today, but especially for the future, that we need to intentionally commit ourselves to be a welcoming church. Because a church will not grow, will not adapt, will not flourish, will not expand unless we learn more and more how to welcome all in Jesus' name. How to not be oriented and controlled by the structures that society gives us, but how to dismantle those structures and how to build new structures. When the church in the ancient world did that, the church during the first few centuries did that, you know what they did? They dismantled the structures of the Roman Empire. And friends, we have a new opportunity to do that in our day. Think about our parish, our zip code, Southwest Parkway. Think about all the tons of growth that is happening here, just across the street and just down the street. Over the next few years, 3,400 new apartments are going in. We've got right next door, brand new office space, the Yeti International headquarters. We've got AMD, we've got Solar Winds. It's been announced that there's going to be over 1.1 million square feet of light retail in our neighborhood. Movie houses, hotels, restaurants, shops. Will we be a church that welcomes all this new growth? Think about another part of our neighborhood, immediately behind us on Old Bee Caves Road. Think of the diversity along there. Think of our many Latino friends and neighbors. Think about the radical change in this city. In 1970, Austin was 70% Anglo and 13% Latino. In 2020, Austin will be 42% Anglo and 47% Latino. Are we as a church going to welcome all? Will we seek to be good neighbors to all? Will we faithfully build structures of welcome and rest? And I hope that our answer is a resounding yes. I hope that we will commit. I hope that you will commit with us to build structures, to build systems, to become people who welcome all in Jesus' name and learn how to welcome a huge, huge host of people. Friends, there is no hierarchy or division in the church between rich and poor, young and old, male, female, slave, free, Latino, Anglo. We are all one in Christ. And when we embrace this identity, that we're one in Jesus, that we've received this radical, lavish welcome in Jesus, then we'll begin more and more to be formed and shaped, to have grace and wisdom and courage to welcome others in his name. And so if you're new to All Saints, welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you're new to the idea of Christianity, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Our deep desire and hope is that you would know the welcoming love of God through us, and that you would help us to become a welcoming community to all. If we failed to welcome you, we're sorry. Please forgive us. We are striving, by God's grace, to become a community of welcome and rest to all. We are building structures, small groups, demographic ministries, outreach ministries, new initiatives to make them opening, welcome, hospitable, life-giving to all who come through these doors. And so please join us in this beautiful mission to welcome all and to help us grow in this area. And if you've been around for a while, welcome. We're still glad that you are here. Help us to better fulfill this mission, that we might commit to this place and give our resources so that many, many more might come to experience the radical, generous, lavish welcome of our God. Let's pray for that. Father, we do pray that we would be good neighbors and that we would welcome all as you have welcomed us. We pray that we would welcome the businesses that are next to us and will come to us, AMD, SolarWinds, Johnson Worldwide Services, Yeti Coolers. For the new restaurants, movie theater, hotel, grocery store, that we would be good neighbors to these people and places, that this church would give welcome, rest, and life to weary travelers. We pray that we would welcome all those moving to our parish. We think of those coming to Southwest Parkway, that we'd be hospitable and intentional in our welcome. Pray that we would be a church that opens wide her doors and embodies the welcome of Jesus. We pray for our friends and neighbors off of Old Beak Caves Road, that we'd be intentional to develop ministries to know, love, serve, and welcome our Latino neighbors. We pray for our plan to get to know them over the fall and then welcome them to Thanksgiving and Christmas parties and then begin weekly ESL and children's ministry to them in January. We pray that we'd more and more embody gospel shalom, that we would seek to offer welcome, rest, and love to all who come, as we have received that through Jesus. We pray all this in his name. Amen.